Ever try to get into one of Advertising Week's amazing sessions and suddenly hear that the room is at capacity? Now you can still experience it in real time. Listen to that keynote or panel as a live audio stream in the Advertising Week app, powered by Live365. Advertising Week Radio features sessions, podcast clips, curated music, and more, both during the shows and year-round. Visit aw.live365.com for easy access instructions. Live365, the world's audio.
Welcome to Great Minds, and today we have an unbelievable pleasure, and I'm flooded with memories, Jess, when I think of, you know, all of our times together. We've had a great run over the years. I remember a lunch that I think Olivia was there also at the Friars Club that we had that was very memorable, and a very, very long list. With us today is Jess Lang. Jess is the Executive Vice President of Global Brand Advertising for American Express. She is having an incredible run there. It's almost 5 years now. And could not be more excited to reconnect with you here on Great Minds. Thanks to your team, Margo, and everybody at Amex. It's been terrific. I am a card user. I'm a proud member since 1993. So thrilled to have you here, Jess, and thanks for doing this.
I'm thrilled to be here. Thank you for having me.
Okay. So I thought of something today. It's a little bit heady, but I thought it might be an interesting place for us to start. You know, all of us view things through a prism. And some of us view things through a prism that is one or two colors, and some that look like, remember the old kaleidoscope we used to play with as kids, where there were just, you know, an endless number of colors. Looking out at the world, overseeing American Express's global brand, you have to see a kaleidoscope of colors. You have to appeal to a lot of people. You live in one of the great places, one of my favorite places in the world. You're very near to my near and dear Coney Island in Ditmas Park in Brooklyn. Another place where you have all the colors, the kaleidoscope of the world. So I thought it might be interesting, Jess, to start by talking about how being in Brooklyn, you know, really live, being a true New Yorker, you're working downtown, you're in the office on Vesey, you live in Ditmas Park. It's a true melting pot of the world. How does that help inform and build a bridge between your life outside of American Express and what you do, trying to connect consumers literally all over the world?
So you didn't lie. That's a heady question, but it's a great one. I think a lot when I think about the neighborhood where I live. It is the intersection of so many communities, right? You've got a huge immigrant and working class community. You've got a huge diversity in terms of just even generational diversity, right? In a way that when I was living in other areas of Brooklyn, it was a little bit more monolithic, right? You'd walk down the street and you'd see a lot of either young parents or young sort of working people who were really interested in cafes and bars and restaurants. And the neighborhood that I live in is deeply residential. And I'm surrounded on either side by people who've lived in their homes for 40, 50 years, right? And so you just feel a different sense of place. And I think that sort of translates to my experience at American Express because there's a deep sense of place. And what I mean by that is this is a brand that has been around for 174 years, right? So very much like Brooklyn, there's a real history and heritage to the work that I do and to the place where I live. And so I really think about Brooklyn in some ways, and I've never actually articulated this before, so I'm really grateful for your question. In some ways, the parallels are really deep, right? A neighborhood with a deep sense of history and a confluence of different communities coming together, a brand that has been built over centuries, right, in terms of defining culture, defining payments and ecosystems. And then you think about the Brooklyn of tomorrow, right, which is modern. It is one of the, on its own, one of the biggest cities in the U.S. And you think about American Express, which is one of the most modern brands out there, right? That transcends the category of financial services, right? That occupies travel, dining, lifestyle, entertainment. And so I very much live in that kaleidoscope, and there are, to your point, there's so much overlap.
Yeah, I think it's just a great way to sort of have a flow of things, that with your river, actually the current goes both ways between where you live and what you do for American Express. So, okay, I promise to get less heady going forward for us, for both of our sake. So, Jess, you went to one of my favorite schools. I was very lucky to have gone to NYU when I was young. I took a class there when I was about 15 or 16 in politics, and Emory took the credits, it counted. And then years later, I went back and taught and helped create the sports marketing curricula for the school many, many years later. I'm very fond of that area. I was on McDougal Street only last week. Talk about NYU, the Stern School, we love. Undergrad, or you got a master's, I think also. Was it a master's and a BS? Or I know you're a double NYU gal, but I'd love to talk about the Stern School in particular. Did you know Professor Al Lieberman? And any other thoughts around NYU, which I just love?
I loved NYU, and I am a double NYUer. So I did my undergrad at the Stern School, and then I did my master's at Steinhardt, which is the School of Education, but also has a media studies department, which is where I did my graduate degree. And I think I did take a class with Professor Lieberman. I didn't take sports marketing, but I took entertainment marketing. I'm dating myself, because I think you know that that was 20 years ago. So this is a long time. I loved the Stern School. I thought it was an incredible opportunity for me. When I think about doing a business undergrad, what I would say is it's right for some people. It's not right for everyone, right? Like, do you think about a broad base of liberal arts? Yes. I was actually able to do both at NYU because I majored in marketing and then I minored in literature. And so much of what we do in marketing is communications and is writing, right? And so it all came together really nicely, but I really hungered for a little bit more of that sort of traditional undergrad experience. And through NYU, I was really able to do both. It doesn't mean I didn't sort of white knuckle my way through advanced statistics and, you know, micro and macroeconomics. I think that marketing discipline at Stern is unparalleled because you have access not just to the sort of textual environments, but the internships and the connections externally are really rich. And so I loved my time at Stern. I still have great friends from NYU. And then when I was thinking about getting my master's, I really did want to focus in on media. I felt like I knew that was where I was going to spend a lot of my career. And I wanted to really, from an academic standpoint, it also coincided with a shift in my career. I was in account management and sales, shifting into marketing. And so when I did my master's in media, it was also to help transition from a mindset perspective, from being really client-facing to being a little bit more strategy-focused. And it was a good bridge.
It's interesting because I went to Emory and I majored in political science and sociology. So sociology, I always thought, doesn't get the credit or respect that I think it should, because I think in a lot of ways it teaches you how to think. But there was no specific knowledge that I learned that I took with me going forward. Your path was different. You learned about a business, about the industry. Did it really help you, or did it just more help you in terms of foundation and kind of made you smarter? But were there things that they taught you, you know, that they really had their finger on the pulse on where things were and where they were going? I think that's a question.
Yeah, no, it's a great one. I probably would have said maybe up until I came to Amex, and then I think I would say yes, for sure. The reason for that is in my undergrad, when you do a business degree, you spend a lot of time taking financial classes, right? Like I took general accounting, I took stats, I took a lot of coursework that gave me a little bit more of a quant orientation. But then growing up in marketing and ad tech, as you know, a lot of my work was in product positioning, was in industry marketing, was in a lot of that sort of category. When I came to American Express is when I really, really dove into performance and marketing. And that has a tremendous amount of financial rigor to it. It's very quantitative. There's a lot of heart in the creative work. But at the end of the day, there's also a huge focus on making sure it's driving results and measurable outcomes. And so I think it wasn't until probably 20 years later that the foundation in being able to decode and speak in numbers when it came to marketing really became practical for me. But I do look back on that, and I think it gave me a good literacy and the things I needed to be able to speak to.
That's fantastic. I'm sure the NYU people would be very happy to hear that. So let's move on. We got a lot of ground to cover with you, Jess. You were in digital when nobody really even knew what it was. Early days, early 2000s, you had a number of gigs, including Atlas, and then later bought by Microsoft. You ended up there for a bit. We'll get to where we met at AOL, where you ran global B2B marketing. But let's go back to the earlier days and those first gigs. Nobody even knew what digital was. You were in it. It's got to be amazing when you look back and say, look as what has happened over the last 20 some odd years.
It's true, Matt. And it's also true that some of the questions we were asking ourselves, while much more complex in the environment and the context we live in today, are still fundamental to digital, right? So when I started my career in 2003, I was trafficking banner ads, right? Like I was taking a 728 by 90, uploading it, and like literally like assigning a click-through URL and trafficking it. Then I went to work in third-party ad serving for a decent amount of my early career, and it was all about measurability, right? We were talking about cookies. We were thinking about, you know, how do we, when you go outside of format, how do you think about results? And so many of those questions, they look a little bit different. They manifest differently. We've got a ton more intelligence, but at their core, I still wake up and I think about measurability in a much more complex ecosystem. I think about what the future of advertising looks like, whether that's cookies or data or whatever that looks like. And I deeply think about what's coming around the corner and how do I measure it, right? And so it's amazing how 20 years in, at their root, a lot of the things intellectually that we thought about in 2003 are still at the core of some of the conversations that we're having, just in a completely different context.
Yeah, no, so well said and so very true. All those topics around measurability, you know, the cookie came, the cookie was going away, now the cookie's not going away. When you look back, and you said something before that I thought was really so interesting in a juxtaposition, American Express is 174 years old, but it's a modern brand. And I happen to think you're right. I think the job that you and the leadership team have done is a remarkable story from a pure marketing vantage point. There were a lot of brands around from that period that we're talking about now, give or take 20 years ago, that didn't make it. Big, big, big brands. You know, we remember Alta Vista and Excite and Disney's investment in Go and where we met AOL. Talk about the attributes and characteristics that have allowed American Express to get to 174th birthday and companies that at one point might have been worth a similar amount or certainly had a big reach, an awfully big reach. I mean, Amex is a pretty big company, so maybe I'm not right there, but you understand the point. These were big, big companies and big, big brands that were, you know, on anybody's top 10 list and didn't make it.
I think it comes down to a couple of things. One, a really firm foundation in trust, security, and service, right? We think about that. It runs through the core of how we think about not only our products, but how our colleagues show up to work every day. So there's a lot in it that speaks to the values of American Express and how we sort of lead through those values, whether that's through marketing or whether that's through the employee experience and beyond. So I think there's a little bit of confidence in terms of knowing what our brand stands for and who we are. The other is, and I talked about this a little bit before, our ability to sort of transcend category, right? And I think that does lead to some of that durability that you spoke to. And that comes with a deep knowledge of who our customer is today and who they're going to be tomorrow. And what I mean by that is when we look at who our most recent card members are, they're millennial and Gen Z, right? And the reason we're able to continue to appeal to those segments of consumers is because we're always evaluating the value that our products deliver while staying true to those principles, right? They have to be certain that the servicing they're going to get with our brand is parallel to no one, right? They have to trust, right, in the products. But we have to continue to evolve the value that we're delivering. And so what you see us doing over time is staying really true to our fundamentals while evolving our products to keep up with what modern consumers are looking for, right? They're looking for access to experiences they can't get otherwise. They're looking for dining experiences they couldn't get anywhere else. And so it's a little bit of how do you negotiate that tension between staying true to what has been the backbone of 174 years, and then how do you continue on the product and brand side to appeal to those younger consumers? Because in 5 years, the world's going to look very different. And so we do try to balance that.
All right. And what about the ones, Jess, that didn't make it?
I mean, I can't comment on brands that didn't make it. I need a lot more access in history. So I feel unprepared.
From our era, the AOLs, the Excites, the Prodigies, Alta Vistas, you know, it's not a gossip show. We're not looking to tear anybody apart. But do you think that those were brands that burned so brightly they had to flame out?
It's probably a little bit about a moment in time and what's happening also competitively in their category, right? I think that some of the brands that you've referenced were maybe one of many competing for the same space, which is why it's so important, right, to have and occupy your own space and in some ways to build the equity to transcend the category and really build that brand equity. So I think that's it. And then I think it's inconsistency, right? Like the more consistent you are, the more flexible you can be. And I know that feels like a paradox, but it's something we deeply believe in at American Express is that discipline and consistency enables you to evolve because you have a very firm foundation of who you are.
I love that. And I want to go back to some of the stuff that you're doing now at American Express, but we'd be remiss not to touch on where we met way back when, which was pre-Verizon acquisition, AOL,
yep.
Where you led global B2B marketing, and you had an awful lot of responsibility, oversaw a big portfolio of brands. Did that help prepare you in some way? Now you've got, you know, the Platinum Card, you've got a whole panoply of products, yep, that you oversee. Did that help you, that sort of jambalaya brands that you oversaw at AOL?
It did. It certainly gave me a lot of discipline in terms of how you think about a branded house or a house of brands, how to treat each, how to think about that. I would also be remiss if I didn't say that was one of my favorite places to work. I loved it. I loved my time there. And what I learned most was how to connect marketing to revenue, right? And you and I both know I grew up in revenue marketing, right? I spent the first 17 years of my career in B2B, really, really connecting the impact of marketing to the impact on sales and to the impact on revenue. And I do think that was what prepared me to come to American Express, because again, that orientation of marketing to outcomes, whether you are in a business unit or whether you're in on the brand team, is very, very important. And so I think having extensive training in B2B just helped set me up with more of a revenue and outcomes orientation.
Great stuff. So let's stay where you did and just take it sort of up to the present. You arrive at Amex with a B2B remit, and you start there pretty high up the ladder, overseeing global B2B marketing, ultimately, really rising up to where you are now. Talk about that transition and evolving B2B to B2C, because they're very different animals.
They are very different animals, but at their core, it's about segmentation and understanding the audience, right? So what I would say is, yes, I did come in on the commercial side, really thinking about B2B. And when I was thinking about B2B, it was, how do I really get underneath what small business owners need from, you know, their financial services partners? Where do we have permission to play from a marketing standpoint? So there's a lot of just getting behind the customer. And that is true whether it's B2B or B2C, right? A deep understanding of what the customer needs are and what their experience is. And so when I started, I was overseeing sort of B2B brand, content experiential, go-to-market, and then also some big areas of marketing enablement, which are really core to how marketing gets done. And what that helped set me up with was a deep appreciation for what we call the quiet work that keeps the lights on, right? You think about these big campaigns and how they manifest. There are teams behind that work that are making sure they get executed properly, that we have the right insights, that we're measuring them. And so a lot of that early experience at Amex was about being able to really see both sides of that house. And then I was lucky enough to then take on acquisition marketing, which was really the heart and soul of the marketing engine for B2B. And again, that gave me really good training in the financial rigor behind marketing. And then when I came to work on the brand side, Matt, I just brought all of that with me, right? In terms of, we're doing incredible work to drive brand consideration with our prospects. How do we make sure that we do that with all of the rigor that I know is behind the work, right? And so it was just about taking the best of performance, bringing it to brand. And again, that discipline was already there. It just, from an org perspective, from a strategy perspective, we just needed to bring it closer together. And it was almost every step of the way at Amex was preparing me for whatever came next. So it's been an incredible opportunity.
This is a very good story. So in all your years on the revenue side of B2B, you dealt with a boatload of creative and media agencies. Now you're on the other side, you're managing the agency relationships. You've had a lot of longevity, but you've also brought in some new folks. Talk about managing that ecosystem, and that's got to be an interesting part of your job.
It is a very interesting part of the job, and it's a big part of the job. We have deep agency relationships, and I have to come to work every day treating and caring for those agency partners as I do my own team, right? Because they show up every day and they work on behalf of American Express. And so for me, it's the span of leadership extends, right? Not just to the people, the full-time employees and contractors at American Express, but our agency ecosystem. What's really important to me is the integration between those agencies, right? Not just between American Express and the agency, but across agencies, how they're working together to deliver on against our goals. The other thing, and we haven't really talked about this yet, but recently I had On Brand, which was our internal creative agency, move into my world. And that has been, first of all, an incredible experience to think about all of the in-house creative that happens across American Express, but also has elevated our perspective in terms of how do you think about external agencies versus internal agencies, right? How do we make sure that the creative experience, no matter what that touch point looks like for the customer, is creative and cohesive and tells the right story and is fit for purpose based on the outcome it's trying to drive. And so it is a huge part of my job and growing as we think about internal and external together.
Do you see the internal piece growing?
The internal piece has a ton of potential in that it helps with creative across the enterprise. So not just our brand creative, but all of our business creative as well. So yeah, there's tremendous opportunity there.
Yeah, and I would think a lot of that skews heavy in the digital mix in that world.
That's right. Yes, a lot of it is digital.
Yeah. And what's your take on, our past and present have been dominated by Google and Facebook. They are the two 800-pound gorillas of our industry. You're putting out so much great creative work. I would think that you're playing across all the platforms. Those two still quite dominant in many ways.
Look, we have tremendous partners across the media landscape that are important to us. So what I would say there from a media standpoint is our cross-channel mix is very important. So you will continue to see us across digital, of course. You'll see us in live TV and in sports. It's important to us as part of our strategy. You'll see our social mix also at play. And that's simply because when it comes down to it, my job is to drive brand consideration for American Express. And to do that, I have to have a really healthy partner and channel mix. So absolutely a big ecosystem of partners.
Yeah, and you do indeed show up everywhere. So I'd love to wrap by talking about a couple things that are sort of contemporary, if you will. One of the great New York events coming up that you always do such a brilliant job at every year is the U.S. Open.
Yeah.
And it's a long relationship that you've had in Flushing Meadow. You may not know, Jess, that in 1997, when I was working for Radio City, I produced the opening of Arthur Ashe Stadium.
I had no idea.
Our talent was Bill Cosby and Whitney Houston. You probably would not book either today. Our band for Arthur Ashe Kids Day was Hanson, which had that song Mbop.
Oh, I know it. Yep.
Which was a biggie. And I just heard it at my niece's wedding, and the kids went crazy. I didn't know how they knew what that song was. But I'd love to talk about what you have cooking at the Open. And I also took note of something that you did with The Bear and Hulu that I thought was terrific and really tied in nicely in a very modern way. Let's stay with that word. So I'd love to talk about those two things.
Yep.
One coming up, we'll probably get this posted around US Open time, and what you did with The Bear, because I thought it was terrific.
Well, thank you. And those are great examples, because one is, a newer partnership. We've been partners with The Bear as our second season. And one is a very longstanding partnership, right? I think it's our 31st year of partnership with the USTA. But again, we always sort of think about every year as a fresh one. So first of all, it is the US Open is just one of those very New York moments in time, as you know. And it's also, as a tennis fan, one of my favorite times of year. I love tennis. I love the US Open. This year, we've got a lot cooking. We have our card member experience, which is open to all fans. And it's just a great, like, tennis inspired respite from if it's hot out or you need a break and you just want to have a drink and cool off and play some tennis. You can go to that experience. It's awesome. We also are partnering with Van Leeuwen on a custom ice cream flavor this year. So Matt, if you see that truck, it is mint green and blue. You should definitely go check it out.
All right.
And then we've got the card member lounge also set up there, and just a great overall partnership in terms of across media and experiences. And then from when it comes to the Bear, that's one of the partnerships where we've been really, really excited about from an innovation standpoint. One, it plays to our card members' passion around dining and entertainment, right? It's as you know, it's like the story is perfect for American Express. It has a small business owner, talks about dining. And so that's been a really natural adjacency for us. What we've been really excited about is our ability to sort of think about a more integrated partnership, right? So it's more than the advertising is important and continues to be important. But it's more, right? We've got in-show integration. We had incredible immersive events, right, for our card members. We had pop-ups in three different cities that had Bear-inspired treats. The Resi The Resi brand showed up well as well. So it was a great opportunity for us. We talk about a modern brand to really partner with an incredibly modern show as part of the cultural conversation. So from both US Open to the Bear, it's about finding those authentic spaces where you know, American Express can shine, but also the platform and the program can shine as well.
Well, authentic is a great word and a great way to wrap this, Jess, because more so than anything else, you speak to authenticity in everything that you do. And I say this in the most non, there's no way to say this, I think, without sounding like I'm like pontificating, but I'm not at all. It's so heartfelt. I'm so proud to have watched you and watch your journey. And you are absolutely at the top of your game at one of the great global brands. You've earned your way there and you're absolutely crushing it. And you were a big wheel when I first met you. And you knew that Jess was really going places, and you have, and you've got a lot more ahead of you, but you've got a tremendous amount to be proud of, and you're doing a fantastic job. And this was a great story.
It was a pleasure to be here. Thank you for all of that. And most importantly, thank you for, gosh, over a decade of friendship. It means a lot.
Yeah, you bet. I'll see you soon.
All right. Thanks, Matt.
Bye-bye.